Well, welcome to the brand new series called Life is Good. My heart for you in this series is that you know the truth of God's word, what he says about who you are, what he says about the world that we live in, and that you too can say life is good. Also want to pitch again, small groups, because we are created to do life together. We are better together. And when you get around people who have a heart to grow in their walk with the Lord, you will too, if that's your heart. And so I'm praying that you connect in a small group. I'm praying that you really begin to seek the Lord. So for this series, the plan is for me to speak from Genesis through Joshua, very topically. In fact, I'm kind of playing around with the whole year to go through the Bible in a systematic way. And that shouldn't scare you. If you've never read through the Bible, I want to encourage you to do that. Every year, I read the McShane Bible reading plan, and we can show you where to download that if you want to do that on the YouVersion app. But I pray that you can know by the end of this series, and hopefully even by the end of this message, that life is good. So I'm going to start this series and today with prayer. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you whisper to us your truth about who you are, about what you've called and created us to be. Pray blessing on this time. Lord, I pray that you speak to people in Jesus' name. Amen. So life is good. Why is that, and how are we going to walk that out through Scripture? Well, we're going to start right at the very beginning in Genesis, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters." This is kind of where we all begin. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.'" And if you've listened to my message my messages since Christmas have been about us walking in the light, that we trust and honor and love God. But I want us to get something. Like, the series is Life is Good, but why is that? I think that in the first couple chapters, really even the first chapter of Genesis, we see the heart of God for humanity, for all of us. God speaks, "Let there be light." Why? So that we don't have to walk in the darkness. And it's interesting to me that God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. It wasn't until day four that he created the sun and the moon. And God saw that the light was good. That's important. I want us to get this. God saw that the light was good. So God, what God created, he created light. Let there be light. He speaks it into existence, which is a conscious choice by him to speak. And he says, "Let there be light." Then we see he intentionally recognizes that it was good. Now let's jump down to day three. Day three, God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so that the dry ground may appear." And God called the dry ground land and the waters sea. Then look at this. Here we see again, "And God saw that it was good." Like, did this surprise God? These are questions I'm asking. Like, did it surprise God? Like, he's the one who said, like, "Let there be light." He's the one that said that, you know, "Let the waters flow together so there's dry land." And then he looks at it and says, "Oh, that's good." Did it surprise him? No. So why is God intentionally saying that? It's interesting to think about that. Then we can look at day four. God said, "Let the lights appear in the sky," and he creates the sun and the moon. And then in verse 17, it says, "God set the lights in the sky to govern the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Again, we're seeing this good thing. Then in day five, God speaks, "Let the waters swarm, the skies be filled, life." So God created all of these things. And then it says in verse 21, at the very end, "And God saw that it was good." Then in verse 6, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal." And then again, we go to the end of verse 25. God saw that it was good. And then we can go down to verse 31. After all of creation, on the sixth day, this is the end of the sixth day now, God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Anything that God creates, and he is in, is good. All truth comes from God. And when God speaks into our lives, what manifests is good. Life is good, and I want you to get this, it's so key. Life is good because God is good. We see 6 days of God working, and then on the seventh day, at the beginning of chapter 2, it says in verse 2, on the seventh day, God finished his work of creation, so he rested. He had finished creation, but there's 7 days, six of them that he's working, but in those 6 days, seven times, we see God looked and he saw that it was good. Life is good because God is good, but I also want us to get this. In the creation of people. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Life is good because God is good and we are blessed by him. And I so want you to get this simple principle from the very beginning. This is before sin has entered. This is before what we call the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. In chapter 3, we see this, that God is good. And when we live in the place that he makes for us, when we live listening to his voice and in his word, life is good. That's the very first thing I want you to get out of this whole series, that life is good because God is good and he's said to, about his creation, it's good, it's good, it's good. But then I also want you to know that you are blessed. Like when God speaks, the first thing he speaks about people is he blesses them. God blessed them. I want you in 2022 to hear the voice of the Lord, to know that the place that he makes for you is a good place, and to hear his voice speak to you that you are blessed because you are his and you are his creation, you are his child. Why is life good? Because God is good. But I also want you to understand that God's way is freedom. That's the second point. God's way is freedom. As we look at chapter 2, we see this in verse 8. The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man that he'd made. And the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, God placed the man in the garden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." God is good, and he's blessed us, but he also sets up parameters that we are to live within. He did this in the very beginning, In a place of perfection, God had one rule. In all of the garden where Adam and Eve are surrounded by trees, two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, of this tree of life, you can eat. Actually, from any tree you can eat. But don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would God do that? Because love, true love, requires choice. And God's heart for you and for me, just like it was for Adam and Eve, was to choose and trust him. It's to choose and trust him. And as we see the plight of humanity in the life of Adam and Eve, we recognize the struggle. Because the fact of the matter is that we want our way. And there is an enemy. Listen, the devil is very, very real. I don't believe he has a pitchfork and is red and has a pointy tail. But he's very real. And he whispers in our ears that there's a better way than what God has lined out for us. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. See, God values freedom. What does that mean? That means he wants you to trust him and to choose his way. In fact, that's my third point, that trusting God brings life. That's why it was the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, you can learn one of two ways, that God's way is true because you walk in it, or you learn that God's way is true because you've experienced good and evil because you've done things your way, not just God's way. And the fact of the matter is that if you've lived long enough to be able to see the fruit of What happens when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You recognize that there's something worse than not getting your way or what you want. It's getting your way. It's getting what you want, and then realizing that it does not satisfy you. And in the end, it's a hollow fruit that doesn't bring life. It just brings death. The Bible's very clear. It says the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus. In the very beginning, we can know that God is good. That's why when we follow His way, it's good. Trusting God brings life. But we have to know that He gives us the freedom to decide and choose. Here's what I love about the Lord. He does not force Himself on anyone. I've heard many, many people say, like, God, why didn't you save Paul? Why did you allow this to happen? Like, listen, we live in a broken world. You know the story of Adam and Eve. They're in the garden, and there's the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the enemy begins to whisper, this serpent begins to whisper into Adam and Eve and say, hey, God, he manipulates. In fact, I'm going to go and read it. In verse 3, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat of the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? No, God didn't say that at all. He didn't say you can't eat any of the trees. He only had one. Because believe it or not, God's way is simple. It's do this, don't do this. But the enemy wants to come and make things really complex. And she says, of course we can eat from fruit of the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Look at the enemy. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Listen, here's the thing. When we do what God has said not to do, we make ourselves equivalent or superior to Him because we say, I know the best way, Lord. I know you created everything, but I'm going to do things my way. And it never works out. When we get to the place where we stop trusting Him and we do it our way, it always ends up in a bad place. You won't die. The woman was convinced in verse 6. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. This is the first time we see sin enter the garden. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Man, everybody loves to blame Eve, but Adam was right there and he didn't say a thing. He didn't say a darn thing. At the moment, and he ate it too, at that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Doing things your way always brings, ultimately, shame, separation, because it's sin. This is what sin does. It separates you from God. And depending on what the sin is, from other people. Always. Because sin separates. But it also brings shame. And in that moment when Adam and Eve did things their way. Here's the thing. They knew God was good. They understood freedom. But they still chose their way. And the reality is that we all learn one of two ways. We learn from truth. I know this is true because I've been taught it. Or we learn through tribulation because we violate the truth. We do things that are our way. We believe the lie and we find out through pain, through separation, through shame, that was a bad deal. Their eyes were open. They felt shame at their nakedness. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Dear Lord, is that the best they could come up with? Have you ever felt fig leaves? That couldn't be comfortable. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. Now, sin's entered. Sin's entered. God had said that the moment that you eat it, that you're going to die. But what happened when they ate? Their eyes were open. They saw their nakedness. They didn't realize it, but they were separated from God. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Listen. Life is good because you know that God is good. That you realize, though, that God's a God of freedom, so you have to choose His way because you know that trusting God brings life. The fact of the matter is that all of us have been impacted by the curse of sin. My prayer is that you've recognized that God's heart is to bring redemption and life. And when you trust Him, and when you realize, man, my life's messed up, you trust Jesus, that He brings you to the place of life. Adam and Eve are in the place of death and sin. And they're hiding because of their shame. They're separating themselves from God because they chose their way. And God's word to them is this: where are you? God didn't ask that question because He didn't know where they were. He asked that question because He wanted them to ask themselves and see the truth. Where am I? In the place of shame, in the place of separation, in the place of hiding. Because that's never God's heart for you. In that moment that they ate and they did their thing, they didn't physically die, but their spirit died. And my prayer for you is that you can know life is good because you know God and His goodness. Because you choose His way and you trust Him. Where are you? He cries out. I heard you were in the garden, so I hid, says Adam. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? God knew the answer to all of those questions. Where are you? Well, I hid. I was scared because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you do what I told you not to do? This is so simple. The man replied, it was the woman. He blames. The woman says, the serpent deceived me. And then God begins to explain to them the impact of their decision and its pain and difficulty and a curse. Listen to me, that curse is still in operation today unless we come to the place where we say, Lord, I choose your way. I choose your way. I know that you're good. God is good. This is how life can be good. So my prayer is that you choose His way. You recognize that there's a choice. There's a fork in the road. I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to live life God's way. What does that mean? That means that you are required, if you see that, that you know that I've been going my way, that you are required to turn from that and turn to Him. And what does He do with Adam and Eve? They don't physically die. He covers them with the skins of an animal. And God covers our sin. It was Jesus who hung naked. Why naked? This goes all the way back to the garden. He hung naked because that's what our sin does. He had to expose the sin of this world so that we could be covered with the grace and the goodness of God. Listen to me, I want you to know this. God is good. When we trust Him and choose His way, so is life. Doesn't mean that everything is perfect and that there's no hardship or trial or brokenness in this world, but it does mean that we walk under the covering and the goodness of God. I want that for you. And maybe you're listening to my voice right now, and you have been very far from the grace and the goodness and the covering of God. All you have to do in that moment where maybe it's right now that God's touching your heart is you have to turn back to Him. You have to recognize, I've been on this path, but Lord, I'm trusting You, and I am turning from my way. I am turning from my path. I recognize that is sin, and I choose Your way, and I choose You. And you experience the goodness of God, the covering and redemption of His hand in your life. And you get to hear the words again that He spoke all the way back in Genesis. I'm blessing you because you chose His way. Choose His way. Maybe that's you. I want to pray with you if that is. Just pray with me. Say, dear God, I turn from my way. Forgive me for choosing my way. I know that is sin. And I turn from my sin. Maybe you need to turn from an individual sin where you know you've messed up big. Say, Jesus, forgive me. You hung on that cross so I didn't have to. You took my shame on that cross. Jesus, I choose You. Lord, I'm walking Your way. My life is Yours. In Your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. Click on the button in the comments underneath. Let us know what God's doing in your life. Listen, I so want to see you know that life is good because you've experienced the goodness and the grace of God. I look forward to seeing you next week. I hope you get plugged in with a small group. I'm looking forward to what the future holds because I know this, the best is yet to come. God bless.